just to pick up where Billy took us there. You know, shame, I've said this before, shame doesn't come from God. Shame comes from the enemy. God gives us peace, freedom, joy. Those are the things of God. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the things of God. Shame is from the devil. And we have power over him. Amen. Say that name with me, Jesus. Say it. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. There's power in that name. So welcome to Wiley United Methodist Church this morning. Glad that you're here. It's always my prayer, and it's one of the greatest things you can ever tell me is that you felt the Spirit in this place. And it doesn't, the Spirit doesn't have to wait for the first note to be sang, doesn't have to wait for the first word to be said. The Spirit can be right here waiting for us when we walk into the room. And also the Spirit lives inside of us. So I hope you feel that this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, there's a blue card in the seat in front of you. Invite you, if not, you're not required to, but would love to know that you were here. You can fill out that card and give us as much information as you'd like, or as little as you'd like. If you want to be on our email list, you can put your email address down there and check the little box for that. Not trying to tell you anything, but you might get some cookie dough if you leave us a blue card. I'm just saying, it might happen. It could happen. And raise your hand if you don't like cookies. That's what I thought. Farrell, you don't like cookies? I knew I didn't trust you, man. Glad that you're here this morning. You can just leave that blue card on the seat there when you leave today if you fill that out. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This is a familiar psalm to most of us. I'll be reading it in the New King James Version because it's a little more familiar than the NIV, which I normally preach out of. The words have a little more familiar tone to them. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you. We know that you are here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak in power and authority and change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm in week 3 of the sermon series, Life Lessons for Sheep. Life Lessons for Sheep. Now, we'll talk more about this in a second, but if you've missed the first couple of weeks, if you want to catch up, you can go to our website, wileymethodist.org, and go to the Sermons tab, and you can find it there. And my mom always said I had a face for radio, but there's audio and video for those of you that, you know, just, Bradley, I know that you want the video, right? You just want to, yeah. But you can catch, the close-up, right? So you can catch up there. But David, I said this in week 1, David is writing this psalm, and he's writing from the perspective of a sheep. Now, week 1 and 2, I covered verse 1, which the contentment was our key word there. And then last week, verse 2, peace was our word. Today's word is purpose. It's not pulpus, whatever. I had a couple of people that pointed out my typo in the email this week. I apologize for that. But we're going to look at verse 3, and purpose is our word. Now, if you think that that being throughout Scripture, we as God's people are referred to as sheep. If you think that's a compliment, I want you to watch this quick little video right here.
On the farm, every Friday, on the farm, it's rabbit pie day. So every Friday that ever comes along, I get up early and sing this little song. Run, rabbit, run, run, run. Run, rabbit, run, run, run. Bang, 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 bang goes the farmer's gun. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run.
Okay, Lee, that's enough
run,
of that.
Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run.
You know, it's not a compliment to be called a sheep. I'm just saying, you know, when a little bunny rabbit is herding around, you know, a dozen of those things. You know, we learned in week one that sheep, and that, please don't take offense. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know, sheep are dumb. We're just dumb. And we're kind of defenseless. And we're totally dependent on the shepherd. Totally dependent upon the shepherd. In that case, a sheep rabbit. So we're gonna take a look at verse 3, like I said today, and dig down a little bit deeper. What is verse 3 really telling us? What can we learn, you know, from our good shepherd? Anybody know his name? Jesus is our good shepherd. And that's the whole, throughout Scripture, it's referred to us as sheep and Jesus as the good shepherd. So first thing we can learn is that Jesus wants to lift you to your feet. He wants to lift you to your feet. We see in the very first part of verse 3, he restores my soul. How many of you have had those days, those moments in your life when your soul just needed restoring? We just, as I said, you know, life is beautiful and it's a joy, but it's also tough, isn't it? I mean, we just run into all sorts of circumstances in our life that's just tough. He restores my soul. Now, I'm going to, throughout this series, I'm going to be referring off and on to a book that I read a few years ago by a man named Philip Keller. The book is called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. Now, Philip Keller was actually a modern day shepherd. And so he had actually lived with the flock. He raised sheep. He prepared the fields and took them to water and all those things that a shepherd does. And this book talks more in depth. So Jesus wants to lift you to your feet. What does that mean, to lift you to your feet, to restore your soul? There is a condition. Now, I've always been tested by my resident vet. And so if I say something wrong, you know, just ignore it, Lynn Lahan. But there is a condition that sheep get, and it's called cast. Anybody know about cast? A cast sheep? Besides Lahan, you can put your hand down back there. They get cast. And what that condition, I've learned this, what that condition is, their wool gets long, and it begins to get dirty, and it begins to get caked with mud, and they get overweight, and they this is kind of gross, but in their stomach, gas builds up in their stomach in the rumen. What you like that? You like that, Lynn? The sheep's stomach has four compartments, and gas builds up in the rumen, and they're just like this big globby sheep, and they find some place and they just lay down, and they roll over on their back, and they become cast. And they can't, you've seen the commercial where the little lady, you know, she falls down and can't get up, you know. That's what happens to sheep when they become cast. They roll over on their back and they cannot get up. They need a shepherd. They need someone that will come and that will lift them up, get them back on their feet. Now, this Keller said that he was always on the lookout for cast sheep, sheep that were cast. He was always on the lookout, but he also points out that so were predators. Hello, is this on? The good shepherd, he was a good shepherd. He was always on the lookout for cast sheep, the sheep that were in trouble. But so were the predators, because that was easy prey. A cast sheep is easy prey for the enemy. Is anybody relating this to people yet? So the shepherd is always on the lookout, and he said one of the ways he could tell if there was sheep that were cast out in the field, he didn't have to walk all around and find his, you know what he would do? He would look for buzzards flying over a certain area. And we have a joke. I knew it. I had my family's joking, because I have a little thing that we'll be driving along and we'll on a trip and we'll see buzzards flying. And I say, you know what that's an indication of? And they always go, death. I go, no, life. It's a family thing, sorry. But and we've been debating that for like 20 years. Because I say if the buzzards are still circling, there's something still alive down there, because if they were dead, they'd be down there on the car. So everybody shake your head if you agree with me. See there? No, that's a family thing. Sorry about that. But buzzards flying overhead was an indication that there was impending death. There was impending death. That this sheep was struggling. This sheep was cast. This sheep needed a shepherd to come and lift them up. Because once the sheep is restored back to their feet, then you can trim off of the dirty wool and you can begin to nurse this sheep back to health. He restores my soul. Anybody, and you don't have to raise your hand on this, but just think to yourself, anybody ever been cast before in this life? Just, I mean, I see it with people who struggle with depression. It's like sometimes they'll say, I don't even feel like getting out of bed. It takes everything in me to swing my feet over the side of the mattress and just get out of bed. He restores my soul. The good shepherd. Secondly, Jesus wants to lead you into holy living. He wants to lead you into holy living. By the way, on the he restores my soul, what did the good shepherd say? Jesus himself, what did he say? I am the good shepherd and I do what? I lay down my life for the sheep. The sheep are important to Jesus. The sheep are important to Jesus. So, Jesus wants to, secondly, lead us into holy living. He leads me in paths of righteousness. God gives each one of us a purpose, a purpose. And here's how many of you, I noted it in my email this weekend. How many of you have read the book Purpose Driven Life? Probably a bunch of us. The first four words, first four words of the book. Does anybody know what it says? It's not about you. He's speaking of the purpose that each one of us have, the God-given purpose inside of us. And how many of us live our lives like, oh, no, it is about me? I mean, that could be, I'm going to write that book. Oh, no, it is about me. That's going to be the title. No, it's God's purpose for us is to bring glory to Him, quite frankly. just very simply, to bring glory to Him. Everything that we do, the way we conduct ourselves at work, the way we conduct ourselves with our children, the way we conduct ourselves in our marriage, the way we conduct ourselves in the car, the way we conduct ourselves at the grocery store, everything that we do, the single goal should be to bring glory to God. Now, when we... And here's what we struggle with. Maybe it's just me. If this is just me, then maybe everybody else can leave, and I'll just talk to myself. It's so easy and instinctive for us to be self-centered, self-absorbed, isn't it? When someone does something that hurts us, and we feel like we're justified. Man, I have every right to just tell them off or to do something mean back. Is that bringing glory to God? I mean, we must look for those to be led into paths of righteousness. You know, that's one of the things that John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, was Christian perfection. Moving on to perfection, this process that God has us in. He's molding us. He's shaping us to be more like in His image. And what needs to happen is we need to be less. This is what John the Baptist said. There needs to be less of me and more of you, Jesus. I must become less, John the Baptist said, as he was coming to the end of his time. I must become less. Jesus must become more. And that's should be our heart as God's sheep. You know, one of the things about sheep, another thing that I learned from Keller was that, you know, you watch the old Westerns. You remember the old Westerns and you always got the cattle guys fighting the sheep guys. You remember, anybody ever seen those movies? Now, there's a reason why cattlemen didn't like sheep herders back in the day when it was free range, because sheep aren't satisfied with just eating a little grass. They pull it down. They pull the root out. They pull the root out. They keep their head down and they just eat and they until there's nothing but dirt. That's when we are living in our own strength. When we're living for ourselves, that's what we're just eating and just pulling the roots out. God has designed us for purpose, and that purpose is to bring glory to Him. In fact, Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, it says it this way: we all like sheep, there it is again, have gone astray. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Our own way is keeping our head down. It's like, if I want to eat that plant down, I want to pull the root out, by golly, I'm just going to pull it out. Everybody else can fend for themselves. That's what's instinctive for us as people, to be keep our head down and keep self-centered. But Christ is calling us to righteousness. And it's a process. We're constantly, and it's not trying to be good. It's constantly inviting the Holy Spirit to root out the flesh in us, the selfishness in us, to root it out, asking God to do that. So it's not this is a hard concept. I hope you can kind of stay with me on this. But it's not a matter of us trying harder to be good. It's inviting a good God to have His way with us. Shake your head if you kind of follow me here. It's not, I want to do everything right and I want to be good. No. It's God, deal with me. Deal with that anger. Deal with that unforgiveness. Deal with that bitterness. Deal with that shame. I'm inviting you, God, to have your way with me. You know, there's different metals, and I've used this illustration before, but to purify metal, you heat the metal, and impurities in the metal float to the top, and then you skim off the impurities and you get rid of that, throw it away, and then you heat the metal some more, and some more impurities float to the top, and you skim them off, and you keep that process going until you heat the metal and nothing floats up. You have pure metal. That's the process that is going on in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, if we let Him have His way with us. He wants to lead us into holy living, paths of righteousness. So, again, I'm going to stop here for just a second and ask you a question. How's that process coming in us? I got a long way to go. I don't know about you. I got a long way to go. But I say this as God is my witness. He has authority to do what he needs to do with me. And the thing is, that heat that with the metal, that heat is trials. It's not fun. The heat's not fun. You have to surrender yourselves to the heat so that the impurities are identified and scraped off, refined. Our good shepherd, he wants life for us. It says in the word, he wants abundant life for us. Not just kind of okay. I don't want things to be okay. I want abundant life for you. I tell couples that come to me that are having some marital issues, I tell them, God doesn't want to patch you back together. He wants new creation. He wants something brand new. He's not like, let's put some Band-Aids on here and some duct tape and see if we can't piece you guys back together. No, he wants newness, something transformative in us. He wants to lead us into holy living. Thirdly, Jesus wants to glorify himself through, take your finger, your index finger, now point. He wants to glorify himself through you. I touched on this a while ago. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? For his name's sake. We find it several places in Scripture. For his name's sake. David said it in Psalm 106. God saved the Israelites for his name's sake to make his mighty power known. God saves us. Our salvation should not just be, I've got my ticket to heaven. I'll see you. I'm out. No, our salvation should be something that brings glory to God. Look at this life that God has transformed. Look at this life. I know many of you that I've shared with you, and I know your testimony, and I know that God has taken brokenness in our lives, and he changes us, and he transforms us into something brand new. My friend, I won't mention him. He knows on my right side. He knows what I'm talking about. I've seen that. I will mention, Johnny, I've seen that in you, my friend. Sorry to point you out, but you're a big boy. You can get over it. Transforming power. Lead me into righteousness. Holy living. He glorifies himself through us. Now, Apostle John said it also this way in regards to for his name's sake. He said, I write you, dear children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Your sins are forgiven so that I got my ticket to heaven. Is that what Scripture says? No. Your sins are forgiven to bring me glory is what God says. I've transformed you. I've healed you. To bring me glory. Jesus, I love the way Jesus launched his ministry. He quoted from Isaiah, and he said that he had come to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. Don't you love that? I mean, that was his purpose, was to heal the brokenhearted. And other places in Scripture, it talks about that God draws near to the brokenhearted. That he's all about. If you're brokenhearted, he's there. That's his thing. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be whole. God wants to restore your soul for his name's sake. He wants to restore your soul for his name's sake. He wants to lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As we close here, in just a moment, we're going to lead into communion. Before I do that, it's all written down for you there. I'm not going to go over it, but I've not letting you off the hook again. You're going to have some homework this week. memorize verse 3, and I've got some, it's right there in your handout. You can see what I've asking you to do this week. You know, this meal that we partake of, here we partake of this meal once a month, first Sunday of the month. There's nothing scriptural about that says, oh, you must do communion on the first Sunday of the month. It's just what we do here. What Jesus said is, he said, do this meal in remembrance of me. To remember that this is a costly meal. You know, if you were here at the Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, you heard me say this, but it just became, God just really showed me this very clearly as we were leading up to this time on Wednesday, is that Christ allowed himself to be broken so that you and I could be whole. We take on his wholeness. He takes on our brokenness. There's this exchange that takes place at the cross. His brokenness, our wholeness. So this is not just something we do because the church says do it. It's not just something that we walk through. This is a costly meal. It's a precious meal. And Jesus, that same night that he served this meal to his disciples, he started the whole thing off by washing their feet, becoming their servant, washing their feet. And then he set up this meal and he said, my body is broken for you. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, and this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. So, man, just think about that wording. His blood poured out for you. Poured out for us. That's big stuff, church. That's big stuff. We come to this table not as perfect people, but as redeemed people. Forgiven people. People who have gone from brokenness to wholeness. We come and we remember at this table. How can we be whole? Oh, I remember, because Jesus made me that way. Remember when you take this meal. So we come as a repentant people. So I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes for just a moment and just in your own heart, just ask the Lord to forgive you of anything that's in your heart that's not of him, any action that's not of him. Father, we pray blessing over this bread and over this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ. We come as a forgiven and redeemed people. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Our praise team, sound team, and servers will come. Christ the Lord invites us to his table. You do not have to be a member of our church to come and receive. You also have the freedom to not come and not receive. That's okay as well. We hope that you feel welcome. If you have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you repent of your sins, you're welcome at this table. These two stations right here and these two stations over here, you will be given a piece of bread. You dip the bread into the cup and partake in that manner. The center aisle here has the individual cups and individual bread that you can partake in this center line. The invitation comes from Christ. You are welcome. Come.
redemption's hymn, when your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held, cross where your love poured out,
Go this week, church. Let God restore your soul. Let Him lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. To Him be the glory. Be blessed. We are dismissed. Go and tell someone. At the cross.